Welcome to the deep dive.
Great to be here.
So if you've ever watched a salsa or bachata Jack and Jill, you know, those competitions, and you've kind of wondered how on earth the judges figure out who wins.
Yeah, it can definitely seem like a bit of a black box sometimes.
Totally. Well, today we want to pull back the curtain a bit. We've looked at info from places like the Bachata Dance Council, the World Modern Jive Championships, the Brazilian Zouk Dance Council, basically sources that explain scoring systems.
And our mission today is pretty straightforward. Break down the key differences between, say, a very basic ranking method, maybe something organizers could even set up using a tool like Microsoft Forms, and the much more structured system called the Relative Placement Scoring System, or RPSS.
Exactly. We want to make this super simple to understand, quick and easy to digest. By the end of this, you should have a much better handle on what's going on behind the judge's table.
Right. Judging doesn't have to be this big mystery. There are systems designed specifically for fairness, and understanding them helps appreciate the competition. Let's look at these two approaches.
Okay, let's start with the simple idea first. Imagine judges just using a basic form, maybe like Microsoft Forms, to rank dancers. Now, our sources don't explicitly say salsa events use this exact tool, but it's a useful concept, right?
It is. It helps us understand why more complex systems like RPSS even exist. So picture a judge watching a prelim, maybe, and just typing in ranks. First, second, third for each couple into a simple form.
Seems easy enough. What would happen then?
Well, likely those ranks or maybe some scores assigned would just be added up or averaged across all the judges. Simple, yeah?
Yeah, sounds simple. But the materials we dug into, especially the ones explaining RPSS, they point out some potential pitfalls with just averaging ranks or scores like that.
Okay, like what?
Well, one issue is that judges might not score the same way. You could have one judge who uses a really wide range, you know, big gaps between their first, second, third place scores.
And another judge might keep their scores really close together. Exactly. And if you just average those raw scores or even simple ranks directly, the judge using the wider spread could accidentally end up having more weight in the final average. Their scores just have more mathematical impact, even if their opinion isn't stronger.
Ah, I see. It's like their scores shout louder just because they're further apart.
Precisely. And that leads to another point. Individual preferences. Hmm. You know, a judge might just really like a certain style or maybe even subconsciously favor a dancer they know.
Right. And with simple averaging.
That one judge's strong feeling, positive or negative, could pull a dancer's average score up or down quite a bit, maybe unfairly. The RPSS documents talk about this. Judges naturally see things differently, use different scales. Simple averaging doesn't really account for that well.
Okay, so the basic approach is easy to grasp,
mm-hmm.
but maybe not always the fairest or most reliable because of these variations between judges.
That's the argument, yeah. And that's really where the Relative Placement Scoring System, RPSS, comes into the picture.
So tell us about RPSS. Our sources say it's used internationally, right? In lots of big dance events.
Oh, yeah. Major competitions. Swing, blues, ballroom, modern jive, Brazilian zouk. And it's definitely relevant for salsa and bachata Jack and Jules, too. It's seen as a, well, more sophisticated way to handle the judging.
Sophisticated how? What's the core idea?
It's really built on three key principles. Equality, uniqueness, and majority. Let's kind of break those down.
Okay, equality first. What does that mean in RPSS terms?
So instead of using the raw scores a judge might jot down, RPSS converts those scores, or the judge's direct ranking, into what are called ordinals.
Ordinals, like first, second, third, fourth.
Exactly, just the rank order. So each judge creates their own ranked list of the competitors, first place, second place, and so on.
And the equality part.
The crucial thing is, every judge's ranking counts the same. A first place vote, that ordinal one from Judge A, has the exact same weight as a first place vote from Judge B. It doesn't matter if Judge A gave a score of 9.5 and Judge B gave an 8.5. Both ranked them first, so both give a one for that couple.
Ah, okay. So that fixes the shouting louder problem we talked about with the simple system. Everyone's vote, their ranking, has equal power.
Precisely. It levels the playing field by focusing purely on the relative placement within each judge's opinion. It standardizes the input, you could say.
Okay, that makes sense. What's the second principle? Uniqueness.
Right, uniqueness.
No.
This means each judge has to rank every single competitor without any ties on their own sheet.
So a judge can't say, oh, these two couples were equally good for third place.
Nope. They have to decide. This one is third, this one is fourth. It forces a differentiation.
Seems tough for the judges, especially with really close competitors.
It can be, definitely. But it's necessary for how the system calculates the final placements later on. It ensures every competitor has a distinct rank from each judge.
Okay. Equality, uniqueness, and the third one was majority.
Majority, yes. And this is super important for RPSS. The final placements aren't based on averaging those ranks. Instead, they're determined by whether a majority of judges agree on a placement.
Majority meaning more than half the judges.
Exactly, 50% plus one. So if you have five judges, a majority is three. If you have seven judges, it's four.
And why is that better?
Well, it helps minimize the impact of maybe one judge having a very different opinion from the rest. If, say, four out of five judges think a couple is in the top two, that carries a lot more weight than one judge placing them way down. It looks for consensus.
That makes sense. It prevents an outlier judge from having too much sway.
The idea, and that's also why you often see an odd number of judges in finals five, seven, or nine are recommended in the docs.
Why odd?
It just makes achieving that majority mathematically cleaner and reduces the chances of ending up with unbreakable ties in the final results. With an even number, you could easily have a split decision, say three versus three.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's walk through an example. Finals, five judges.
Ah.
How do they decide who gets first place using this majority rule?
Right. So, first step, every judge submits their unique ranking list, first, second, third, etc., for all the finalists. Then the scorer looks for first place. They ask, did any dancer get a majority of first place votes? So, with five judges, did anyone get three or more ones?
And if someone did, say, couple A got three first place votes.
Boom. Couple A gets first place. Simple as that. Majority rules.
But what if nobody gets a majority of first place votes? Maybe one couple got two ones, another got two ones, and one got one one. No majority.
Good question. Then you expand the criteria. You look for a majority of first or second place votes combined.
So you count how many judges ranked each couple either first or second.
Exactly. You look for a couple that has at least three judges, in our five-judge example, who put them in either first or second position.
And if a couple hits that majority for first, second place votes, and no one got a majority of firsts.
Then that couple is awarded first place.
And if still no one has a majority.
You keep going. You'd then look for the majority of first, second, or third place votes combined. You continue adding the next rank level until you find a couple that achieves a majority for that placement level.
Okay, that seems logical. But what happens if, say, two different couples both reach a majority at the same level? Like maybe two couples both get three judges ranking them in the top two. How do you decide who gets first and who gets second then?
Ah, excellent point. That's where the tiebreakers come in.
Yeah.
RPSS has rules for this.
Okay.
The first tiebreaker looks at the quality of the votes within that majority. You take only the judges who contributed to that majority for each couple.
So the three judges who ranked them in the top two in our example.
Yes. And for each tied couple, you add up the actual ranks those specific judges gave them.
So if couple A got ranks 1, 1, 2 from those three judges, the sum is 1 plus 1 plus 2 equals 4.
Right. And maybe couple B got ranks 1, 2, 2 from their three majority judges. That sum is 1 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2 equals 5.
Okay, so A has 4, B has 5. Who wins the tie?
The couple with the lower sum gets the better placement. Remember, lower rank is better in dancing. So couple A with the sum of four would be placed higher than couple B with the sum of five.
Because their majority judges, on average, rank them slightly higher.
Exactly. It's a way to differentiate even when both have the same number of judges placing them within that majority bracket.
And what if? What if they're still tied? Same sum.
It can happen. Then you go to the next tiebreaker rule, which usually involves looking at their rankings across more judges or deeper into the rankings from the majority judges. The system has layers of tiebreakers. Some of the documents we saw, like one called TIGA's Relative Placement and the Brazilian Zouk Council PDF, they have detailed examples with scoring sheets showing exactly how these majorities and tiebreaks play out.
Right, so there are clear steps to follow. And what about the head judge? Do they get a special vote?
Typically, the head judge's scores are held back and only used as a sort of final tiebreaker if the standard RPSS rules still result in a tie after all the steps. Their vote isn't usually thrown into the main calculation unless needed to break a deadlock.
Okay, that covers the finals pretty well. But what about earlier rounds? Prelims, semis. Are they using the same ranking and majority system?
Not usually, no. It's often too many dancers to rank individually. In the earlier rounds, they commonly use what's called a callback system.
Callbacks, like just deciding who moves on.
Yeah, basically. Judges watch the dancers, maybe in heats, and they simply select who they think should advance. It's often a yes, no, or maybe a maybe decision for each dancer, like a checkmark system.
So not ranking first, second, third, just you're in or you're out.
Pretty much. Or you're definitely in, you're possibly in, you're out. The scorer then takes these selections. A yes might get converted to an ordinal of one, a maybe to a two, and a no to a three, for example.
Ah, so they still turn it into numbers.
They do, but the goal is different. They add up these ordinals, or more simply, count the number of yes votes, or ones. Dancers are then ranked based on how many judges selected them to advance.
And then someone decides the cutoff point.
Right. The head judge, or competition organizer, usually decides how many dancers advance, based perhaps on a preset percentage or looking for natural breaks in the scores. So everyone with, say, five yes votes advances, maybe everyone with four yes votes, and then they make a cut.
Okay, so prelims are more about filtering. Finals are about precise ranking using that majority system.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
So bringing it all together, we talked about that simple, maybe Microsoft Form style ranking, and then this more complex RPSS. Why do so many big competitions lean towards RPSS? What are the main selling points?
Well, the sources consistently frame RPSS as being fairer, more accurate, and more reliable.
Because of that equality and majority principle.
Exactly. By converting scores to ranks, ordinals, it ensures equal weighting. By using the majority rule, it focuses on the consensus of the panel, not just an average that could be skewed. It's designed specifically to minimize the impact of one judge being, you know, way off from the others, or having a particularly strong bias.
Right, it smooths out those individual variations we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, it's statistically more robust against those kinds of issues.
So, for listeners trying to get a quick, simple takeaway, the basic ranking idea relies on direct scores or ranks, which can be easily swayed by how individual judges score.
Correct.
Whereas RPSS uses this system of converting to ranks first, then finding where the majority of judges agree, making it less susceptible to those individual judge quirks.
That's the core difference, yes. It's a system built to prioritize group consensus and equal representation from each judge. It aims for equity in a subjective field like dance judging.
So hopefully next time people are watching a salsa or bachata Jack and Jill that uses RPSS,
yeah,
they can appreciate there's this quite thought out system working behind the scenes. It's not arbitrary.
Definitely not arbitrary. It's structured, rule-based, and aims for the fairest possible outcome based on the collective judgment of the panel.
It kind of makes you think, doesn't it? How the structure of a judging system itself can really shape the results and the perception of fairness in any kind of subjective competition.
Absolutely. It's not just about what the judges see, but how their opinions are combined. That's a fascinating aspect to consider, maybe even look into for other types of competitions you follow.
A great thought to leave our listeners with. Well, that wraps up our deep dive for today on understanding these judging systems. Hope this made it clear.
Hope so, too. Always interesting stuff.
We'll be back soon with another deep dive. Thanks for tuning in.